Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, welcome to Parenting Uncovered. We have got a great conversation in store today. With a lot of times when we're interviewing someone, we're reaching out to someone that we don't really know personally, and we're learning from them. Today, we're getting to learn from someone who has been a friend and an influence in our life, and we're so excited to have her here. So, sweetie, tell everyone about our special guest today.
You guys, I'm so excited. I have my friend and my literary agent here. Her name is Blythe Daniel. She is also an author of several books, one called Mended for mothers and daughters, and she also has one called I Love You, Mom. She wrote both those books alongside her mother, which I think is so cool. And today we're going to be talking about their book, Blythe's book, along with her daughter, Kaylin, and that book is called Let's Be Friends. And you guys, I know that as, you know, I'm a mother of four boys, so I don't have daughters, but just as a woman who, you know, obviously grew up through those middle school years and high school years, and even some in like upper elementary where it's just hard to make, you know, great friendships. I think, you know, we have that term frenemies. We have some of these negative connotations with female friendships. And I love that Blythe and Kaylin really came together to create a resource for really mothers and daughters to navigate, you know, sometimes the rocky road of friendship. And so I'm so excited to welcome Blythe here on the podcast. Welcome, Blythe.
Thank you so much. I so appreciate your support, both of you, for our book, Let's Be Friends. Because as you said, Ashley, those middle grade years are so tough for girls. You know, girls' friendships can change overnight, it seems like. So my daughter, Kaylin, has a twin brother. And so he has this thing about girls. And he's like, man, I don't want to even like girls. He said, because there's so much drama. He's noticed the conversations about how one day girls are friends and then the next day they're not even talking to each other. And so it's a real concern, and it's a real thing for our kids. Whether you have daughters or sons, you're somehow connected to girls and watching these friendships take place. And so it can be hard for us even as parents.
Oh, absolutely. I'm telling you, when I found out that you were writing this book and then was able to get it myself just to show you guys who are watching online, it's right here. It's awesome. I just thought, man, that what a needed resource, you know. And even in talking with my friends who have girls, and I've also been a small group leader to middle school girls and high school girls, I know that this area of friendship is something where when it's good, it's so good. And having a close friend is such a blessing, but when it's bad and you feel like you aren't cultivating good friendships and you feel left out, it really, really affects a young girl on so many levels. And I know for me personally, kind of walking through really fifth grade through eighth grade was a rough time in knowing who my friend is and knowing how to be a good friend. I think it is for a lot of girls. Even when I was years ago leading a middle school group, seeing them through those years, I just remember every time we had prayer requests, it was about friendship. Even some of the girls in the group, it was, you know, one day, like you said, they'd be totally great with each other, best friends forever. And then, you know, another week, it's like something weird's gone on here. A lot of times, usually a boy involved, like both liking the same boy or something. But not always, you know, I think sometimes it's a lot of misunderstanding. So I would love to hear, you know, why you and Kaylin decided this particular subject matter, like from your own personal standpoints.
So it was certainly something that I experienced as a middle grade girl. And I remember being in the car with girls that were whispering and just how diminished I felt. And when we were doing carpools or whatnot, and as I talked with Kaylin about some of the things that she was going through in seventh grade, you know, it was clear that there was something in her heart stirring to talk about friendships, both being a good friend and also having friendships, what to do in those friendships. And then the area that I think we sometimes don't even think about is friendship with God. Like, yeah. How does having a relationship with God help your friendships? And so it was one of those things where I said to Kaylin, do you feel like God is asking you to write on this topic? And so she said, Mom, I really do. And so she put together some ideas and I came alongside her, but most of the writing of the book is hers. And I love that her voice is in this because she's someone who's walking through it. And in one example in the book, she talks about when she was in the lunchroom and how her friends like literally got up from the table and left her, and she could see them off in the corner whispering. And it's so hurtful. How many of us have been in that situation?
So hurtful.
Right? And so it really did show me that she wasn't just writing about something that she felt passionate about. It was something that she was living out.
Yes.
And so how she ended up handling that situation, she shared with two of the girls, and one of them apologized. And so it is allowing girls to use their voice for good and having conversations. And that's really what we wanted to do, is just to say, hey, this is something you're probably walking through, and here's some choices that you have, and here's what you can do about that. And then here's a prayer that you can pray over yourself, and here's where you can ask God to help you understand what He wants you to do in this situation. And so we wanted to be able to have girls investigate, but like really take this to heart with God and think through, you know, something that maybe Kaylin is saying in the book or something that I'm sharing that prompts them to go deeper and not just take the hurts at surface level and move on, like really process how this is affecting them. And we think that's important.
So good.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Before we dive more into the book, what's one thing that fascinates me about your story and something I know our listeners would be intrigued by is you have a generational pattern, you know, working with your mom, now working with your daughter, and the close, you know, friendship and partnership that you've been able to form multi-generationally, parent to child, which is something that I think so many folks who are listening long for. You know, they might not have, you know, the desire or the passion or the skill set to write a book together, but they want to have that kind of level of partnership with maybe with their parent or with their child. And they feel like, man, that just seems so far away. What advice would you give to those parents listening that want to develop that kind of really friendship with their kids? And I know as parents, we have to, especially when they're under our roof, be more than friends, of course, but that you want to foster that relationship. So once they're adults, that there's a strong friendship relationship there. And that's clearly something that has been done in your family. So just speak to that for a minute.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because I would not have dreamed that I would be in this multi-generational family ministry that we're in of writing messages and sharing this way. But I can honestly say that it is such a gift, and it is part of our ministry. As a family, like, we have just seen the value of speaking up, being honest, being able to ask powerful questions to each other, like, hey, do you see me helping you with that? Or how do you see me helping you in this right now? And is there anything between us that we need to talk about? Like, my mom has been a counselor out of some difficult years with her mom. Mm-hmm. And you know, I would just say, yeah, very verbally abusive her mom was to her. And so my mom learned to recognize ways to communicate and ways to not take things so personally. And so she's taught me a lot of that. And I've tried to mirror that with my girls and my son. And it really is, I think, sometimes just being very humble and just even asking your child, like, do you want me to be involved with this with you? Do you want me to help you start this ministry or start writing a book or start creating your own business or whatever it is? And just leaning in and hearing what your child has to say. Because kids are, you guys know this because your kids are this way, super creative kids. Kids are creative. They know what they're interested in. And so as parents, I think if we can come alongside and ask if they want our help or if they want us to be involved in what God's put on their heart, I think that's an open door to partner together in whatever that might look like. And so that for us has been more than anything the gift of being able to do ministry together. And Kaylin and I, have actually been leading a small group at our church with girls from like fifth grade through eighth grade and talking about issues around friendship. And again, that wasn't something that we planned on, but the door was open and we walked through it together to say, okay, we've not done this before, but we'll try this. And so just really, I think intentionality is probably what goes back to, Dave, of the way that we are intentional with our family and taking opportunities. And even if we don't have it perfect, we don't have a set plan of what that's going to look like. If we can just kind of say, okay, God, I'm willing to take this first step with my child or with my parent, Father, what would that look like beyond that? And that to me has been, God has just come and met us in our places of lack and need. And that's been great for our children to see that when you step out in faith, that God will always meet you there and he'll always supply what you need when you're faithful to walk out his calling of helping people know that they are loved and most of all that they are loved by God and what a relationship with Jesus Christ looks like in their life. And that really is that's our goal. That's our mission.
Yeah.
That's great.
And you can see that throughout this book. I love how the way that you all structured the book, like I was looking at day 16, it talks about, and this is one of the hardest things, and it takes definitely some wisdom that often maybe our kids aren't quite there yet, maybe until they have to seek it from the Lord, but it's when to walk away. Like when to walk away is what this is entitled. And it starts off saying it can be hard to make friends. So we usually want to hold on tight to those friends that we have. But sometimes you may realize a friend is not actually very good for you. And then you go into, you know, all kind of, I don't know, meeting that felt need of when people feel like, you know, they know that this friend is not really great for them, not giving them good advice, not really being a reciprocal friend, maybe using them, manipulating them, but how it's so hard. And so then you go into words for you, like how you can handle this. It talks about ways to walk away from your friend. And I just think as a parent, if I had a daughter, I would want to hand this to her because I do think so many times we don't take that step to put down those boundaries and say like, you know, because that's really essentially what we have to do is put down boundaries with that friend, essentially, you know, putting some distance there. But we don't do it because we don't know how to do it. And we're afraid, you know, at that age, we're afraid it's going to blow up in our face and it's going to be a big rumor mill in the school. And then we're going to lose other friends because of it. And it's going to be like us, you know, them against me and all those different things. But you really give great reasons or great ways to, for lack of a better word, break up with a friend if you need to, and just in such a mature way. And I love that. I just feel like that's why this book is so great. And then it really helps that you know daughter who is reading this to reflect on how she can handle the situation. And I think, you know, even for those maybe who have daughters and sons, even going through this book as I'm going through it, I'm thinking about my sons and how they can handle things like that. Because, you know, even though I know this is totally geared towards, you know, how girls can handle girl friendships, which have some unique qualities compared to, you know, the boy friendships, you know, have their own unique qualities. But I do know that that's something that boys and girls feel is like when they know a friend, you know, it's hard to walk away from a friend. What would you say is like the number one reason that girls in particular hold on to friendships that really aren't good for them? What would you say is the main reason?
I think the main reason is because girls really want to be liked and they want people to accept them for who they are. And they're afraid to speak up and be honest because they don't want to rock the boat, right? They don't want to be seen as difficult or someone, you know, who's not popular or accepted. And it's interesting because I was telling my son the other day, we were talking about girls, and I said, son, I think there's three things that you need to know about girls. And I said, one is that they want to be accepted and they want to be liked. And then a second area is that sometimes girls will make mistakes, but they don't really own up to it. Sometimes they'll say something or do something but it's just hard for them to admit that they're wrong. And then the third thing is don't ever take something too personal from a girl. I said, because sometimes girls speak out of emotions and they don't necessarily mean what they're saying. And so I think about that in relation to what you're sharing about like how it is hard to sometimes break up with a friend or walk away because of those different issues. They want to be liked. They don't want to lose out on something that they perceive would hurt them in the end. One of the things that I've really tried to encourage Kaylin with and her friend groups. And I've watched this. I just even watched it recently with some girls who kind of went off and left her standing there. And I just thought, you know, sometimes what we can say to a friend is even, hey, you know what? I do think that you're a good friend, but I don't feel like we're to be in the same friend group right now. Or I don't feel like maybe you're a friend that's a best friend for me right now. Right. And it isn't saying that that won't change, because right. I'm kind of leaving the door open that that might change in the future. But it's just saying for right now, I don't feel like I'm going to be the best friend to you, or you're the best friend to me. I feel like I'm going to be, you know, able to carry on my friendships that I'm supposed to be in. And God has showed me that these are some friends that I want to invest in right now. Mm-hmm. But I will pray for you, and I will continue to see you at school and talk to you when I see you. So sometimes it's like not letting people know that we're like totally not going to be their friend anymore. Sure. It's just that we're dialing back a little bit. Those aren't words that kids use, but in our hearts, like we're saying, hey, you know, I still want to know who you are. I still want to see you. But I feel like my friend group right now is moving in this direction. And so for kids to be able to put that in their own words, I think is helpful, because again, it's not just saying no to you and you're a bad person. Mm-hmm. It's just that these are my choices right now.
Right. No, I love it. It's very empowering. This book really is empowering on how we can have healthy friendships, but also how to, you know, establish boundaries. And like you said, put it in your own language. And I love how, too, you're still having a bridge there. You know, I think it's good because, I mean, gosh, Blythe, we've lived long enough. We know that sometimes who might be an acquaintance in one season becomes a wonderful friend in the next season. Like, you just never know. So I think having that bridge there for both of us to do maybe some more growing up or just whatever it is, you know, I think it's good to do that in a, you know, to put some space that is needed, because you don't want to have a toxic friendship, but to do it in a loving way to where there's still room where maybe later on you could be friends. And I love that. And I've seen that in my own life. I have this distinctive memory of when I was, I want to say a seventh or eighth grader on the cheerleading team, this one girl who I had been best friends with in elementary school at some point in my life, like literally we were both at each other's house, like trading back and forth homes, lived close to each other. So we would often walk these different places. I even think we walked home from school together in middle school there in sixth grade. And I remember, I don't know what happened. And a lot of times we don't, like as young girls, we don't know what happened to make them all of a sudden not want to be our friend. But I remember she just, that particular year, just started being really mean to me. And just saying really rude things. I remember, I don't know if you remember a phone tree. Like for our younger watchers and listeners, I'm going to describe a phone tree. Okay.
It'll blow their minds.
Do you remember a phone tree, Blythe? You remember how we, okay.
Yeah, I do.
So like before texting, before cell phones, back in the dark ages, we would have what's called a phone tree, guys, who are, you know, this is really going to rock the world. So we would have a list of numbers, and the first person would call the second person would call the third person, and so on, building branches as if you're building a tree. And so that meant everyone on the team would get the message. And, you know, you had to, at the beginning of the year, you agree, obviously, we're going to tell each other the correct message. But my friend at the time, well, who I thought was my friend, in particular, we had a phone tree message of what uniform to wear to the game. And when we had games, we wore our uniform to school that whole day with our warm-ups on. And then we had the game like right after school. And so it was a big deal. We were all matching. It was kind of like a team spirit thing. Well, she on purpose to embarrass me told me the wrong uniform to wear. And so everybody was in the maroon uniform and I'm in the white uniform. And as silly as that seems to us now as adults, it was so devastating to me as a middle school girl, because then it was literally like walking through the cafeteria, pointing, ah, oh, she's wearing the white uniform. And then my so-called friend having this sinister smirk on her face, knowing that she did it on purpose. And then I think at that game, she was just being real mean. And I remember my mom noticed it. She clocked it at the game and was noticing these trends and what was going on with my person that I thought was my friend and clearly wasn't anymore. And she pulled me aside and she said, listen, unless you say something, this is going to continue, you know? And she said, you know, you're allowing her to bully you. And I know, you know, you want to be a peacemaker and that's good. And we are called to be peacemakers, but we're not called to be doormats. And she's like, you need to let her know that what she's doing is not okay. And so I remember later on, I think when the game was over, she was still doing kind of these mean little snickers and things. And I pulled her aside, this girl. And I said, listen, we were best friends in like first and second grade. I don't know how many times I've been to your house. I don't know how many times you've been to my house, but something has clearly changed and you are being so mean. I said, you are a mean girl. And this is before the movie Mean Girls, but I was like, you are a mean girl and I don't like it. And you're going to stop treating me this way. And I said, I will not allow you to treat me this way anymore. You're not being a nice friend. And I think she had probably been bullying some other people, but it was like for the first time she was like, oh, she's not going to take this anymore. And I remember she didn't like me, you know, confronting her, but all of the bullying stopped. And I remember in high school, freshman year, she actually apologized to me. We were in different friend groups by that point, but she ended up walking up to me and saying, I'm so sorry that I was so mean to you that seventh or eighth grade year. I can't remember, probably eighth grade, I guess. And I was like, you know, it's okay. I mean, we were kids and, but it really hurt me because I really care about you, you know? And she's like, yeah, she goes, I'm so sorry. And you know, I know our kids aren't always going to get the, I'm sorry. I mean, that's the goal. That'd be wonderful. But I think that like this book and what you all address in it, it empowers us to have those hard kind of confrontations, especially if we are being bullied. And I know the word bully, you know, people have a wide spectrum of how they understand that. But when someone is just going out of their way to be cruel to your daughter, it's going to take, you know, it's good for our kids to feel empowered to be able to address it. Sometimes it takes more than the person. It takes, you know, getting teachers involved and parents involved and things like that. But I think it's great when our kids can understand how to do that, because really, I know in that time I learned a valuable lesson about standing up for myself that has carried with me through life, because just in my natural way is to keep the peace. And I don't like mm-hmm. confrontation, but I think learning through that time and seeing how we do establish boundaries with people and we teach people how to treat us, it really went a long way. And so I love how you all address that. I know I spent a long time on that story, but I think that as parents, it's good for us to have these tools. You know, before we share Dave's dad joke and my fascinating fact, I'd love for you, Blythe, what's another, I know we've talked about kind of when to leave. We talked about establishing kind of healthy friendships, but what is another thing that you think keeps tween girls in particular from having the kind of friendships they so desire? What do you think is one of the barriers?
I think that one of the barriers is just having a proper like self-esteem or confidence about mm-hmm. who you are, because one of the things that we talk about is that God has created you. And when we're criticizing ourselves, we're even telling God, I don't feel like you made me with your best in mind. And so when God has made us who we are and our features, and we are to say, thank you, God, for making me who I am and help me to see the beauty of that. Because girls can put down other girls. So then we naturally think, well, it must be the way I look or the way I act. And so girls will try to change their personality. And Kaylin talks about that as well. And that it's harmful to try and change your personality to fit one group, because you'll constantly be changing your personality and you'll never really find your group, because you're always changing to be someone who you're really not. And so we just feel like, you know, again, getting that confidence from God, knowing that God designed you exactly as you are, and being confident in that. And that really helps you become a better friend, because you're a more confident person. And a more confident person will attract the right kinds of friends, rather than someone who's more on the weak or uncertain side of things. They're probably going to attract girls that are the same way. And so what's so fun is that I think that when we talk about, like, you know, the opportunity to make friends, and is that sometimes you'll be with friends that you never thought you would be friends with. And so even if you are, you know, even if you are told by a girl, parents, you're watching your kids be told by another girl, you don't fit in with us, or you're not my friend anymore, it does open the door for your child to make friends with people that they might not have ever thought they would be friends with. And so the possibility of new friends is really what we want to focus on, the right friends, because you can be with certain friends, but they just may not be the right friends for you that God has for you to grow with. And so that's really our focus in this book, is just help girls identify who they are and who they are to be friends with, and how they'll know that those are good friends for them. And then really, how do they even handle friendships? Well, we do that when we have a strong relationship with God, and we understand the way that God calls us to be a friend. And he doesn't call us to, as you said earlier, not to be a doormat. He does call us to speak up for ourselves in a loving way, and to give people grace and love, and to represent Christ to them. But there are so many ways that we can go to God and get that affirmation that we need, rather than trying to get affirmation from other girls. And that applies to us as moms as well, that we can remember these things for ourselves as we're guiding our daughters through it.
It's so true. And I really appreciate that you all wrote this book. It's such a great resource for those watching. Here it is again, Let's Be Friends. And it says it's a tween devotional on finding and keeping strong friendships, which I love. And again, it's by Kaylin Daniel and Blythe Daniel. And before, we're going to give Blythe the last word, but before we get there, quickly, Dave's going to share his dad joke of the week, and I'll share my fascinating fact about parenting. So,
yes. So dad joke, you know what? I'm going to give you guys a bonus and give you two dad jokes. First one is from Taiwan, our producer, recently engaged.
He has some great dad jokes.
He does. He's really going to be...
He's not even a dad yet,
but he's going to be
so
a great
good.
Dad. And his today was, why don't eggs tell each other jokes?
Why, sweetie?
They're afraid they'll crack each other up. Okay. But this...
I know.
Next one is actually a plug for...
This is a really fun plug.
For... the other author in the Daniel family.
Yes.
Because we have a book called You're Joking Me, Jokes for Kids by a Kid, William Daniel.
And it's excellent. We have two copies. We
so
love it.
So funny. And our kids love this book and they love Daniel's jokes. And he is like a dad joke master in training already. He's already mastered it in like middle school.
Yes.
So there are a whole bunch in here.
There's a
I don't
want to
give too much away. But here's one. What happens when a pony sings?
What?
He gets a little horse.
He's so good. I love it.
So, way to go. All the authors in the Daniel family.
I know
family.
Y'all are very talented.
So, yeah, check
family.
Out that book, too. Our kids love it. Your kids will love it.
So good. I love it. All right, guys, you guys know I'm sharing some fascinating parenting facts throughout the decades, okay? So in the 1950s, and this is from goodhousekeeping.com, it says that they did not believe in baby-proofing because experts believe that baby-proofing was a sign of lazy parenting and that a child can learn what not to touch with the help of their mother yelling at them to put stuff down. And I thought that was so funny. And in parentheses, in the article, the person commented, has that ever worked? And I was thinking, man, I think we've all, as moms, we've tried that. Yeah. But it's such a different swing. Because, like, I remember in the, you know, early to the teen 2000s when we had kids over that decade, baby proofing was what you did. Like, you at least covered a plug, like with a, you know, protector and stuff. So that's an interesting take.
We've come a long way.
We've come a long way.
Blythe, we want to give you the last word. Let folks know where they can learn more about you and all the stuff your family's doing.
So much.
I mean, you don't have to give them your personal address or anything, but where can folks that want to know more about the work you're doing find you?
Yes.
Thanks, guys. Thanks so much. And thanks for sharing Will's jokes. We would love to have people connect with us. We have a website called letsbefriendsbook.net, and that is where we have our book, Let's Be Friends. We also have the other resources that you all have mentioned, our other books, and then my son's joke book. But we'd love for people to check us out there or to connect with us on social media. We actually do have social media accounts for Kaylin Daniel and my son William Daniel. We monitor that, but we know that they do like to produce videos and go on there and just connect with people. So either under Blythe Daniel, Kaylin Daniel, or the William Daniel author. So thank you so much, guys. Just appreciate your heart to give parents tools to make things smoother and a little bit more support for families that are trying to do the right thing by growing their families with their kids and being intentional with their marriage. And I love what you all are doing with Exo Marriage.
Thank you so much, Blythe. This has been so sweet. And again, guys, I'm going to show it one more time. Go get Let's Be Friends. It's amazing. Especially if you have a tween daughter, whether you're a parent or you just know, like if you're a small group leader, this would be a great, like for youth leaders out there, this would be great for any kind of middle school girl small group. My goodness, I wish I had had this when I was leading them all those years ago. It would have been an excellent conversation starter, but even personally on a personal level. So go get that. And again, thank you so much, Blythe, for being here.
Thank you, Blythe.
Thank you.